happening everywhere all across the country. We're going to be covering it in just a little bit, though, in New York, because there's been two recent pleas that have just taken place in a massive Medicaid scandal. And of course, you know, it's the same type of people who are behind all of this. You know, we've been hyper-focused on Minnesota, and I'm, like, trying to figure out, like, all right, let's expose the rest of it. Let's not just focus on Minnesota, because we know it's happening all across the country, specifically, though, in blue states. And yes, of course, it happens everywhere. But Democrats have allowed these individuals to steal from the American people. They've made things simpler for them. We'll get to that in a little bit. Liz Joy joining us. She is now, and I'm very proud of her for this new title. She's now the Schenectady County GOP chairwoman, and she's shaking things up. We'll go to her in about 3 minutes. But folks, this is going to be a big one. I don't think people realize in New York what's really happening there. They're widening all of this, making it possible for fraud to be committed. And sadly, Democrats just don't seem to care because, well, we all know why. We all know why. There's also a project that's deeply concerning that even former Democrat Eric Adams got shut down in regards to creating rent-stable departments for ex-cons. Again, folks, things are rapidly declining in New York City, and people need to learn the effects. This is what happens when you vote for a communist, an Islamist. People thought, oh, we're just going to get some free incentives. No, you are going to become very unsafe where you live. Your homes are going to be potentially robbed. You can't defend yourself. You're literally going to be living in a communist hellhole. And that's what's happening right now in New York City as we're watching, as if it couldn't get any worse. We're watching it get worse. Liz Joy will be sounding off on that. Also, you know, we keep hearing from the DOJ that they're going to be landing indictments, making arrests possibly, and alluding to just that. But the reality of it is that really what's happening? Are we really going to see some major arrests? Well, Joseph McBride, obviously, as many of you guys know, because he's a guest of this show quite often, is a trial attorney. But most importantly, he was in the fight when it came to the lawfare that was taking place. And he's been following all this, and he'll be joining our show in a little bit as well to break that down for us. Because we keep mentioning the FACE Act. I don't know if the average American is aware of the FACE Act. I got a 101 lesson as to what the FACE Act was all about when we saw pro-lifers getting wrapped up and arrested for peacefully protesting outside of abortion clinics. You know, we played in the open of the show, my girl, Bev Williams, by the way, who is an amazing patriot. I spoke with her exclusively when she came out of prison because President Trump pardoned her. But the woman's an absolute patriot, absolute patriot. And they locked her up for peacefully protesting outside of abortion clinic, trying to say that she caused injuries. She didn't. She didn't. But if we're all playing by the same rules, then yeah, these people need to get locked up. They need to get locked up. I'm tired of this double standard where we only apply these laws strategically to conservatives. Because why not? Why not? Why not send a 75-year-old grandma to prison for peacefully protesting outside of an abortion clinic? Folks, what the Biden regime did to this country cannot be forgotten, cannot be forgiven. And there needs to be massive, massive prosecutions across all of this. And again, we keep calling on it. Will the DOJ actually listen? Well, we're going to keep applying pressure. The president seems to be fed up, but he's not trying to be as direct. He's trying to lightly tap dance around it. I'm going to be as direct as possible, though, when I tell you that they're not doing this job efficiently enough. And don't give me there's process that they have to abide by. We sat back and watched as the weaponized DOJ went after people for taking an unauthorized tour of the Capitol on January 6th. People who were peacefully protesting outside of abortion clinics were getting raided by the feds. So we've seen it. We've seen it all play out. So we're not going to sit here and pretend like it's a process, because when Democrats were in control, well, they seem to know how to expedite that process. All right, we're diving into more in just a little bit. Buckle up, folks. We have so much more to discuss, even exclusives into the third hour of the program. Also, Lauren Chen will be joining us in this hour of the show as well. So we've got a lot happening, jam-packed program for you. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just 1 minute.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, we got our eye on what's going on in Davos right now. The World Economic Forum kicked off yesterday. This is day two now. And, well, there's some big news being made. I'm sure none of you are going to be rushing to create an account, but the WEF is saying that they've created a new social media platform as an alternative to X because free speech is toxic. So if you don't want to have free speech, head on over to something called the W, which they've now just launched, it looks like. We'll bring you the details on that as it develops. But of course, those over at the WEF right now are pushing this because free speech is their number one enemy these days because they cannot control the message. When you're able to speak freely. No surprise there. All right, folks, we are keeping our eye on a lot of things. Specifically, though, the fraud that's been going on all across the country. As many of you guys know, fraud in the billions is being exposed all across the country. We're watching it obviously play out in Minnesota, California. But the focus also should be on New York. Now, New York has been, according to the current federal government, taking your taxpayer dollars and using it to pay the expenses of illegal aliens when they make trips to the hospital, which apparently, according again to this current administration, is something they're not supposed to be doing. And they are potentially going to be seeking reimbursement for the illegals who have been billed at the federal expense. That announcement came out yesterday, specifically to California as well, but also looping New York into that. But interesting enough, although there's tons of fraud going all around the country that's being exposed right now, Democrats in New York aren't buckling up anytime soon. In fact, they are looking to create more programs, which could potentially lead to more fraud. I'm talking about Zoe Ramadani, who is now, sadly, the New York City mayor. Zoe Ramadani yesterday, or I should say the other day, unveiled a new plan. Now, this plan is supposed to give universal child care to New Yorkers. Now, New Yorkers, folks, not Americans, let's just say New Yorkers, because it's very likely that illegal aliens will be swept up into this as well. But he detailed his plans in clip 16. Take a listen.
Not only when we make pre-K truly universal, but expand this care to include all 2- and 3-year-olds across the city. As the governor said, we will deliver to care by working in partnership with child care providers, especially home-based providers. Who have been doing this work without thanks or recognition for far too
long. Now, of course, this all sounds really good and it sounds like something that we could all get in line with. But the reality of it is yes, these things are fraudulently used. And I don't think the rest of us would actually get in line with that. That's just me trying to play nice with them. But the reality of it is the fraud is the big issue here. They've created this massive, massive hole where a lot of foreigners are taking advantage of U.S. taxpayers. And as it's starting to get exposed, I think most Americans are fed up. They've had enough. But there have been small little indictments here and there. And I know a lot of people are talking about this one. This one dropped last week. Now, there were 8 people rounded up into all of this, but there were 2 individuals, 2 key defendants who pleaded guilty on Thursday of last week. They were participants in a $68 million adult daycare fraud scheme. That's according to the Department of Justice. They are saying that they have pled guilty to conspiring to defraud Medicaid by paying health care kickbacks for services that they were not providing. Now, again, this is 2 Brooklyn-based social adult daycare centers and home health care companies. So again, this is a massive one, and it's just one of many, many being exposed. Joining me to detail all of this is Liz Joy, who has the brand new title as the Schenectady County GOP chairwoman since we last spoken to her. So Liz, congratulations on that. I know the last time we had you on, you didn't have that title, but you do now. And so it's very exciting to see. But, you know, we're talking about fraud here, and we're talking about how it's being exposed all across the country. And while most states, if they're responsible, are going to look to prevent fraud from taking place, it looks like New York is actually expanding the opportunity for fraudsters to get a hold of taxpayer dollars. What do you make of the very latest?
I was really astounded. Number one, I want to say thank you so much to our incredible Homeland Security Investigations Task Force that absolutely worked very hard and uncovered this massive, egregious fraud. And thank you to you for giving such great coverage to this story. This is no surprise, really, to New Yorkers. We all know that there's fraud in New York. As a matter of fact, you know, the budget that they're pushing through for 2026, I think it's $255 billion, you know, to the New York taxpayers. And the largest portion of that budget is to Medicaid. And what was this, which you just were talking about? $68 million worth of Medicaid fraud that was uncovered by this, I guess, several individuals. Really, it was one company. It was a daycare company, but also they also had the billing company as well. And what they were doing was laundering money and giving kickbacks to people. The marketers were involved. The people that owned these fake daycare providing centers were involved. And people, the biggest issue here is not only the fraud and how it harms the taxpayers, but our very vulnerable Medicaid citizens that didn't get the services that they need, and the families that needed these citizens to get the care that didn't have their families get the care. So this is just, I think, one of very many, very serious issues that's going on here in New York State. You have to remember also that we are a sanctuary state. Kathy Hochul talks about us being a sanctuary state. And you have to remember that she campaigned on and talked about that she was not going to work with Homeland Security. She wasn't going to do that. And you saw all the problems before President Trump was elected, where they were going back and forth. You saw all the problems that Mayor Adams had. And you saw what Mamdani campaigned on, you know, as far as being against, in my opinion, all of the Homeland Security. So regardless of the efforts to prevent Homeland Security from doing their jobs, they still uncovered this massive fraud, which we need to know about, because the taxpayers are being pillaged here, and we're having to provide these funds to people that appears in the fraud. Some of the services were not even within the United States. Kickbacks were going back to people outside of the United States, to your point that you just said, to foreigners. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to find, I couldn't, please, maybe you know the answer here. Were these people that committed this fraud, were they actual citizens? That is something that I wasn't able to find in the articles that I was reading. I wanted to know, are these people illegal citizens? And I know they're facing jail time. I know that there's a maximum sentence, I think, of 10 to 20 years. They should get the maximum, I believe. But this is just one small problem here, contributing to not only our bloated budget, but also contributing to the massive healthcare costs that we have here in New York State. Why our premiums are so high, why our hospitals are suffering, because so much is going to fraud. And we have a real problem here.
Yeah, we do have a real problem here, Liz. And this is why it's so important to call it out when you see it beginning. And it's, I mean, obviously, this is the federal government who indicted them, by the way. So it's very clear that this little tip came in, obviously, and they investigated it, and it blew open a $68 million fraudulent scheme that was going on. But again, that's the Fed stepping in. And that's really important to highlight that. Before you go, Liz, I just wanted to ask you this quick question, too, because I see what's going on in New York City, and we've been warning about it for quite some time. But Zohran Mamdani, the New York City mayor, has just brought back a plan that the previous Democrat who was running New York City, Eric Adams, shut down, didn't want anything to do with. It has to do with, as they call, a supportive housing project, which will provide 83 rent-stabilized apartments to ex-cons, those senior citizens, formerly incarcerated, those who have maybe possibly complex health medical issues. They are going to be receiving access to all of this. Now, obviously, you don't want these people living on the streets when they are released from prison. But is it fair to say that New York City is doing more to help ex-cons at this point than its own citizens who are law-abiding, who don't even have access to rent-stabilized apartments?
Right. We've seen the affordability crisis in New York City for several years where people have not been able to afford decent housing and the costs of housing. I just think that these things are, look, yes, I believe that they should have decent housing. Yes, I believe that they should have access to decent health care. But you have to remember that previous administrations here, you have to remember, we're closing hospitals, we're closing mental health hospitals, we're closing prisons at record rate here. People have been turned out onto the streets. There's homelessness, there's violence. Again, I want to point out sanctuary cities here. So I want to know, what's the vetting process for these people? Where's the money coming from? How much of the tax budget is being used for something like this? And what about our veterans? What about the veterans that need the housing? What about real Americans who have been here and are American citizens that need housing? You know, there's so much that needs to be addressed. I want to see people get housed. Of course, we're compassionate New Yorkers, but at the same time, the waste and the fraud and the abuse, and just put for 83 or 80 units.
Yeah.
Who are the people that are paying for that? How are they being vetted? What services are they receiving? And are there going to be more of these? Mm-hmm. You know, those are the questions that I have that I didn't see anything about. Yeah. You know, they just throw out these titles and say the things that they're doing and all the good things that they want people to buy into. Yeah. But the reality is there are people that have to pay for it. And it's the taxpayers that have to pay for it, because the government really doesn't generate money. You know, it's not like they're not really producers generating the money. And we have more New Yorkers fleeing New York than ever before, especially New York City.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of questions about it, you know, and those are some of them.
Yeah, Liz, we all have a lot of questions. And what's going on in New York is something we're going to keep our eye on. So we look forward to having you back on. Liz Joy, thank you for being here. As always, you are the chairwoman for the Schenectady County GOP, and you are a fighter for New Yorkers, conservative New Yorkers especially. So it's always an honor to chat with you. Thank you, Liz. We appreciate your time.
Great to see you. Thank you.
It's always great to see you, Liz Joy. All right, folks, we are buckling down because we're trying to see, is the DOJ just talking a whole bunch of junk? Well, the DOJ says that it's going to go after the individuals that decided to go inside of a church to protest on Sunday. Harmeet Dhillon, who obviously is now running the Civil Rights Division over at the DOJ, spoke out about this in Clip 17 yesterday about the potential charges that those that went inside of the church, including Don Lemon, are currently facing. Take a listen.
We will pursue charges in this case. I see various crimes that have occurred. Exactly what they are, I'm not going to flag, but the FACE Act has been mentioned as one of the predicates there. In other cases, the Biden DOJ used the Klan Act conspiracy charges tacked on to the FACE Act in the case of protests outside abortion clinics to bring much longer sentences. So there are a number of tools available to us. Who funded this? What else? What other crimes may have occurred? Was there a use of the wires or the mails in preparing for this event? Did anyone cross state lines to do this? All of those are potential predicates for additional federal charges.
And that's the important part here, is that these are charges potentially being looked into. But again, I've explained to you what the FACE Act is in regards to the pro-lifers who were wrapped up and tossed into prison under the Biden regime. So what should be done now? Joining me to discuss is Joseph McBride. He is an expert on the law affair that came out from the Biden regime. He's also a trial lawyer and a strategist, and he's with us now. And Joseph, it's always an honor to have you on the program to catch up on these things. You know, Harmeet Dhillon yesterday caught a lot of attention when she put out there that these individuals are being investigated. And then she also mentions the FACE Act as the potential here. You know, Bev Williams, friend of mine, a good person, great person, actually, a patriot, Christian. She went out there and protested outside of an abortion clinic peacefully, and the DOJ decided to go after her under the Biden regime, and she was sentenced to 3 years in prison. So now we're sitting here looking at what happened on Sunday with those so-called protesters who went inside of that church in Minneapolis and did their very best to intimidate those who were just trying to worship. Do you think that the FACE Act should be utilized here?
I think that a criminal investigation should take place. The FACE Act is one of the legal mechanisms under which an investigation could meaningfully take place. There's the Klan Act as well. There's other constitutionally protected rights and laws that have been violated here. Historically, I'm somebody who's opposed the FACE Act. This is because it's, you know, what does it mean? FACE Act is the freedom of access to clinic entranceways, right? It's a pro-abortion law that has been used to, number one, protect abortion rights, which I disagree with, and number two, to sort of attack people who exercise their First Amendment objections to abortion clinics murdering children. So historically, there's been a heavy-handed left-wing application in favor of lefties against people who are on the right. So just as a matter of first impression, I don't like this law. Now, can the law be used against Don Lemon and the group of people that he infiltrated that church with? It's possible. I just don't know how legitimate or how much teeth this law actually has. So it's going to be interesting to see. But what I can say, what does the law really speak about? The FACE Act also protects a United States citizens and American citizens' right to worship peacefully, absent government intrusion, absent intrusion by a hate group, and absent intimidation by people who disagree with a person's religious views. Religious views are protected. Religious speech, religious exercise is protected under the First Amendment. It's right up there in plain language. So the idea that Don Lemon and a group of hateful people crossed the threshold of a church door and infiltrated the church door during live service and went to a pastor and made children and women cry in that congregation, on its face, is very, very wrong. And he can be sued for it. He should be sued for it by the members of that church. And he can be held criminally liable by United States government. So the FACE Act is a good idea. But I think that the constitutional protections that the First Amendment and other relevant case law give has a lot more strength and a lot more teeth than just the FACE Act by itself. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. Well, that's the important part here, too. And before you came on, I played a clip from Bev Williams when we sat down to talk about how she was just pardoned by President Trump last year. But she also detailed about her efforts to stop the FACE Act from being implemented because it was weaponized and it's not being used for the proper reasons. And so based on what her views are, they pretty much do align with what you're saying here. And so, yeah, Joseph, that does make sense. But here's the thing. We have the Minnesota Attorney General right now, Keith Ellison, who's also currently being investigation for his alliance with a lot of these fraudsters that have been caught over these last few years, ripping off taxpayers. But he's claiming in clip 19 that even though there were children who were terrorized by that so-called protest that took place, by the way, Don Lemon refers to it as an operation, not a protest. He believes that it's protected under the First Amendment. Take a listen.
Do with whether they're going to focus or investigate you. So I wish in a normal time I would say no. I say this is First Amendment activity. In time like this, it's just really difficult to say because the only one thing is clear. If Trump likes you, you can do no wrong. If he doesn't, he's going to use every weapon he can against you, including our criminal justice system.
Okay, McBride, it sounds like they're trying to say that these protesters also have rights to, obviously, the First Amendment to protest. But it's my belief that this is private property. When they tell them to leave, they have to get out of there. Is that the case?
Look, first and foremost, mm-hmm. Keith Ellison is a disgusting anti-white, anti-Christian bigot who makes you want to puke. Yeah. If I was in a room with him for more than 5 minutes, there'd probably be a massive problem. I can't stand the air that man breathes. That's number one, Brianna. Number two, that is not constitutionally protected activity. We know from the January 6th body of litigation, which is very relevant and on point here, that once a person or a group of people interfere with a federal investigation or interfere with a function of government, that that is not constitutionally protected speech. We argued in January 6th cases at length that we thought that the actions of these men and women were protected under the First Amendment. The courts unilaterally said to us time and time again, it's not going to happen. The actions of those people are not protected. That is codified case law. It's recent. It's on point. There is no protection for Don Lemon here. There is no protection for the people that he infiltrated that church with. Moreover, when you look at the language of the FACE Act, what's interesting about it is it speaks about obstructing, intimidating, stopping, and interrupting religious services. He did all of those things. So he's guilty of the FACE Act, of the violations of the FACE Act on his face. The actions here are not protected. Keith Ellison is a prejudiced bigot. He's a partisan hack who will cut off his nose despite his own face. If this were reversed, and if this was Alex Jones infiltrating a mosque or Sean Hannity infiltrating a synagogue, let's say, can you imagine the blowback? Can you imagine what the ADL would be saying? Can you imagine what other religious rights activists would be saying and what members of the left-wing media would be saying about what should take place? But because this is a black, gay, lefty American man who infiltrated a Christian, a church in Minneapolis, they don't want to hear about it. Don Lemon is using his identity and identity politics. The fact that he's black, the fact that he's gay, the fact that he's 14 other things, who cares? He's using it as a shield to hide himself, to hide behind, to attack other American citizens in violation of their constitutional rights. Being gay and being black does not give you the right to disrupt a church service. It does not give you the right to intimidate people. It does not give you the right to kick in the door like the Ku Klux Klan or the Black Panthers or any other kind of deranged group to interrupt people who are faithfully and meaningfully participating in their constitutionally protected rights to worship Jesus Christ in the United States of America. Don Lemon should be sued. Don Lemon should go to jail. Keith Ellison is nothing but a problem. The man is a joke. And if President Trump, you cannot miss this opportunity. You cannot miss this opportunity to go after Don Lemon, to make an example out of him, and to go after the other people who are supporting the infiltration of the church. It's one thing you got these lunatics in the street. It's another thing. There are two sides, maybe. You can argue some people are pro-ICE, other people are against ICE. It's a little bit more convoluted. It's a little bit more complicated. But infiltrating a church while people are worshiping Jesus Christ in this country is intolerable. Mm-hmm. You have to act. You have to act now. You have to take swift, decisive action to make an example of Don Lemon and those lunatics who harassed those people and prevented them from worshiping in that beautiful church in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. McBride, I'm on board with this. I think we need actual action here, not just empty threats. And that would come in the form of criminal charges as well as lawsuits, as you just detailed there. Justin McBride, you do an incredible job all the time when you join us. So thank you, my friend. Folks, give him a follow on X, McBride Law NYC. That's McBride Law NYC on X. Thank you, Joseph McBride. All right, folks, buckle up. Lauren Chen is joining the show in just a few moments. And we're going to be asking her about the Biden regime DOJ. What happened there when they decided to go after her and pretend like she was a Russian propagandist? Well, she's going to detail just that for us in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers on it, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you guys are all with us today. We have a packed house, packed show today, and a lot to expose. So we look forward to doing just that. But I want to take you back to 2024. As many of you guys know, it was a very heated election year because a lot was on the line. And so I warned everyone from day one, pay attention to what's going to happen, because I could promise you the Biden regime is going to try its very best to slander conservatives. And they did just that. As many of you guys probably recall, there was this big scandal that they were pushing out there in the mainstream media. They tried to say that some top conservative voices were receiving millions of dollars from the Russians. Now, anytime you hear Russians, it's always a red flag for me, and I'm sure for all of you at home. But the reality of it is, there were no criminal complaints actually, or there were no criminal charges filed against the conservative influencers that they named. They were trying their very best, again, to pretend like they weren't targeting them while making leaks to the media. It was a train wreck. As many of you guys are probably figuring out right now when you're trying to connect the dots, I'm referring to Tenet Media. That was the group that they were trying to push as the big group that was taking money from the Russians. Now, again, folks, That, as soon as I heard it, I knew it was a big red flag. It didn't seem to make sense, but they were able to successfully loop in some really big names like Lauren Chen, Tim Pool, Benny Johnson, Dave Rubin. And they pretended very, very aggressively. Again, it was all false, but they didn't care for the truth. The mainstream media tried to push it as if all of these conservative influencers were being told what to say by the Kremlin. But of course, that wasn't the case. Now, there were two individuals who were criminally charged. And again, we're going to stay away from that because I want to focus on what actually happened here, because we weren't allowed to really kind of cover it from the angle of Lauren Chen. Lauren Chen and her husband started Tenet Media, and they found themselves quickly being targeted by the Biden regime. Now, the tactics that were used were very unethical, and it resulted in zero criminal charges for Lauren and her husband. Now, many decided to go out there and bash Lauren rather than wait for her to share her part of all of this. And I know it wasn't a popular take on social media, but some of us found ourselves going out there and saying, hold on a second, it's an election year, they're using the Russians, these are all the common tactics that they've done in the past. But sadly, so many decided not to do just that. So we're now at a point where Lauren is actually able to speak out on what took place in all of that. And Lauren Chen joins us now. She is an incredible political commentator, and it is an honor to have her on this show because, Lauren, I've been a big fan of your work for a very long time right now. It's a great time to have you on to kind of sift through all the nonsense that was going on behind the scenes. I sat back and saw that the talking points. Anytime in an election year they use the Russians as an excuse, it throws up all the red flags. I told everyone to wait because we don't know what actually happened here. And now it's resulted in no criminal charges for both you and your husband. So I just kind of want to give you the floor and let you explain what happened from your perspective.
Sure. Well, like you said, I think the main takeaway from this story is that not only are there currently no criminal charges against me, my husband, or our company, but there actually never were. Mm-hmm. And so we see time and time again how the Biden DOJ, they were very happy to trump up charges out of thin air whenever they thought that they could get a headline. I think it's important to note that even though they really put us through the ringer, they sent 30 armed agents to raid our home. They nearly broke down the door. If we had been a little slower in answering the door, they certainly would have. Despite everything they did to us extrajudicially, that is smear us in the media, they seized our assets and claimed that it's now forfeited. We can't get our bank accounts back. But they never actually charged us with anything, which I think, unfortunately, is part of the story that the mainstream media and, unfortunately, even a lot of people on the conservative side, they didn't really seem to talk about. Like you said, the investigation is now closed. That's something else that a lot of the media outlets that did hit pieces on us originally, they never really stopped to report that update. I think they were more happy to just kind of let the story out there as if, hey, maybe this ended up with them being found guilty of being spies or something like that, which of course is not the case. But, you know, Tenet was a company that was really focused on giving creators whatever editorial freedom they needed. And I can confidently say that after almost a decade now of working in independent media, we were the most liberal with allowing our content creators to speak to whatever issues they wanted in whatever way they wanted. You know, we were never the type to say, hey, you must say this, you must say this, we need you on this story. And it was really shocking to see how many people, not only in the liberal media, but again, also some even on the conservative side, were happy to buy the idea that the free speech of Americans was in some way propaganda from the Kremlin. And it's been disappointing overall to see how even a lot of people who you would think would understand that the DOJ was weaponized under Biden, they very, very quickly fell to the same lies that we see time and time again.
Yeah. And Lauren, it was really frustrating to sit back and watch because I got into it a little bit with one attorney who was going after you guys over what was in the claim. But again, there was no criminal charges filed. And to be a lawyer, it was so frustrating to see because this is an attorney who should know better, who should know that you're innocent until proven guilty. And although the DOJ is just making claims in documents, in court documents, it doesn't mean that that's actually the way. And also to keep in mind is we saw hundreds of Americans get swept up into the political persecutions of January 6th and all the pro-lifers who were arrested and thrown in prison for peacefully protesting outside of abortion clinics. So we knew what they were capable of. And so we should have all saw this one coming. But, you know, the push the mainstream media was trying to say, where people like Tim Pool, Benny Johnson, and Dave Rubin were all getting talking points and were being told how to kind of form the content that they were pushing out there. At any point, were you reaching out to any of those three individuals and telling them what kind of content to post?
Absolutely not. And I think they've backed that up. Mm-hmm. What's kind of funny is that Tenet actually mostly licensed content. So people like Tim Pool, people like Benny Johnson, Dave Rubin, they had their own teams of editors, producers. They controlled their content completely. We didn't even see most of the content until it was going live on our platforms, published by them, by their own team. Tenet was the work, the content was the work of Americans. I mean, and we also had Lauren Southern, who was Canadian, mm-hmm. but at no point was anyone given talking points. Hey, you have to say this. And what I'm shocked more people don't understand is that an indictment is not evidence. Mm-hmm. If that were true, then there would be no such thing as innocent until proven guilty. But also that the way that this case was structured, the two individuals who were charged, they were not our employees. They worked in conjunction with our company, but we didn't pay them or anything like that. They weren't hired by us. The DOJ under Biden, they never actually expected to catch these individuals. The indictment that was written was more than a press release than an actual indictment. It was 30 some pages, mostly not even related to them at all, just trying to smear our company. And I think the DOJ knew that this was never an issue that was actually going to be brought to court. So they knew they wouldn't actually have to prove anything that was in the indictment. So they really took the opportunity to get creative, is what I will say. And it's been interesting to see Bondi and the new team under Trump that they've come in. They've really tried to address the weaponization that happened under Biden. The task force specifically that was dedicated to snooping out foreign influences, including in places like the media, that's actually been disbanded. Bondi has also clarified that going forward, things like FARA, it's going to be actually used to look at things that more closely fit the traditional definition of actual espionage and trying to, influence the government in that such a way. Not all these nefarious allegations that the Biden DOJ has put out, including by criminally indicting several of Trump's allies and associates.
Yeah. Yeah. Lauren, we saw all this play out. It was kind of crazy that others didn't catch on to realize this is one of the many layers of lawfare that was being utilized under that administration. And so it is a little frustrating. Your critics are probably going to try to allude to the fact that your political takes might be influenced by foreign groups and foreign governments. Have you ever had a political take that wasn't organically inspired by your true thoughts? Or have you ever had to do a take or were forced to do a take that was foreign influenced?
Absolutely not. And what's interesting is that, again, there's a lot of things in that indictment that are either inaccurate, misleading, or just claim untrue. But even the DOJ has not alleged that my takes were influenced by a foreign government. And I can confidently say that I'm currently the most investigated influencer out there in terms of, are my takes actually mine? Yeah. The answer is 100%, of course. I've never had a foreign government tell me what to say. I will point out, I have had some conservative companies, American companies that I have worked with attempt to steer my talking points. I've always refused that, which is why I think they're, I'll say this honestly now, that's why I think some of the people who went after me from the conservative side so viciously said what they said. It's because previously I have, I've made it known that I'm not willing to go along with certain narratives just because it's what's popular with the establishment. I've always been very critical of foreign wars and American military interventionism abroad that I feel is a waste of American blood and treasure. I think doing so in the past put a target on me from people who would otherwise maybe be my allies on the conservative side. But the idea that my talking points or any conservative influencer associated with Tenet, that we were told what to say, that's not true. And that's not even something that really, if you look at the indictment, is being alleged. One of the examples that they highlight as a proof of Russian interference is the fact that we shared a Tucker Carlson clip where he went to Russia and went to a grocery store. That was the damning proof that we were being fed Kremlin talking points, is because we shared a relevant and trending video by an American content creator. It's absolutely absurd on its face.
Yeah, no, it is. And that's why I think it's so important to outline it, because, you know, previously when this all going down, and unfortunately you didn't have the platform where you weren't really able to go out there and defend yourself, because obviously it was a pending investigation. So we're excited to hear your perspective in all of this. But I also want to hear your perspective in regards to how badly they targeted you. As you alluded to in the beginning of all of this, 30 armed agents showed up at your home. You obviously are a young mother and you have a young family. And so that's deeply concerning in itself. But from my understanding, they seized your finances, your money's been seized, and you still don't have access to your funds, even though you haven't been criminally charged and they're not going to charge you. What's the background on all of that? Because that is extremely concerning.
Sure. Well, like I mentioned, this was a very aggressive raid on our house. And I've heard from lawyers, attorneys, including our own, who said that, you know, with the scope and content of this investigation, they could have easily just subpoenaed you or, you know, to search your devices. That would have been much more proportionate. Instead, they chose the shock and awe route. Not only did they send all these armed agents to us and make a very big show of force, but I was also going to my fourth month of pregnancy when this all started, which at the time wasn't even public information. Obviously, the FBI knew this because they had been watching us, listening to us for months at that point. But, you know, they showed up. They spent the next several hours tearing apart our home, searching it, seizing all of our electronic devices. And we would later find out that our bank accounts had been frozen. And now, you know, during the course of this investigation, obviously we weren't able to really comment on what was happening. But once we did find out in April that it had been closed with no charges to us, and actually Tim Pool, one of the other creators who whose content was licensed by Tenet, he heard from the DOJ that the investigation had been closed back in December. They were not forthcoming about that with us. I think they really wanted to cause us as much harm as possible, keeping us in that sort of limbo phase where we're not sure what's going on legally. After that, though, we did inquire what's happening. You know, we got our electronics back. That's great. They did drop our computers. We've had to replace quite a bit of equipment because it was just treated so harshly by them. But we inquired about what about our bank accounts. And we were very unceremoniously informed that that money had been forfeited. Now, according to our lawyer, if they are going to seize money and claim that it is forfeited, what the proper protocol is supposed to be is they're supposed to notify you in writing, and then you have a certain, I think it's 30 days to appeal that decision. We were never given actual written notice of this. We only found out that they were not intending on returning our bank accounts when, you know, when we actually asked them what's happening with that months and months later. And so we are in the unfortunate position now where we would actually have to take them to court if we want to try to get back our money, because it's our word against theirs about whether they informed us. But of course, you know, as you're well aware, that's more legal fees. And frankly, our lawyer has been very transparent. He has told us it's not like you guys had millions. I mean, despite, and that's another part of the dishonest reporting, many media outlets were trying, it seemed, to paint it as if we were being given millions of dollars. No, our company, our entire company, all of the content, all of the employees, all of the contractors, the figure in the millions that's being reported, that was our operating budget. It was not payment for myself and my husband personally. You know, we are not and have never been millionaires. My lawyer has informed us that due to the fact that this isn't millions of dollars that we're talking about, it's not $1 million. I believe the most that they can claim with this forfeiture is, I believe, $500,000. So we're under that. He has told us point blank that it may not be worth it, frankly, in legal fees to try and take them to court, because you may end up paying more for lawyers and, you know, court time than you would actually get money back. And that's if you got money back at all. So we are in a very unfortunate position there. And that's why we are hoping that people within the DOJ can still correct this internally. There are people who, you know, were part of Trump's team brought in who understand the witch hunt that this was. But unfortunately, there are still, you know, influences within the DOJ, specifically the SDNY, who want to make sure that we are harmed as much as possible from this whole fiasco, including by keeping our the contents of our bank accounts.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact that our government was able to do that is, I mean, it sounds like complete overreach, and the fact that they cannot just give you those funds back after no wrongdoing has been found on your part, it's very concerning, Lauren. Honestly, this is deeply concerning. I know for our audience too, because we talk about government overreach all the time, but this is a whole nother level. So Lauren, I mean, for our audience at home right now, if you're looking to how you could help out Lauren, they've set up a Give, Send, Go page to help with those legal fiends. Just give it a look, givesendgo.com/Lauren Chen. That's where you could go to help them fight this, because Lauren, you should be able to get that money back. That's your money. And the fact that they've confiscated it without a valid explanation for that is really, really concerning. But, you know, Lauren, you weren't just coming on today to do this. We also wanted to pivot and talk about current events, because that's what you're stepping back into to give us your great commentary. And we look forward to that. But I wanted to talk with you a little bit about Don Lemon, because, you know, it's so frustrating in regards to Don and what he did on Sunday, where he thought he could just walk up into a church with a group of protesters and interrupt service and intimidate those who were there that day to worship. But he is now going out there and now insulting those people on top of everything else. And in clip 21, he refers to them as white supremacists. Take a listen.
And there's a certain degree of entitlement. I think people who are, you know, in the religious groups like that, it's not the type of Christianity that I practice, but I think that they're entitled, and that entitlement comes from a white supremacy. And they think that this country was built for them, that it is a Christian country, when actually we left England because we wanted religious freedom. It's religious freedom, but only if you're a Christian and only if you're a white male, pretty much. And so, yeah, I absolutely 100%, but it's an intimidation tactic. And, you know, I said, I don't understand how I've become the face of it when I was a journalist. I do understand that I'm the biggest name there. And I'm also, as I was on with my producers this morning, you know, you and Kylie talk all the time. My producers were saying, I said, how did I become the face of this? And my producer said, Don, you're a gay black man in America.
He's a gay black man in America. Lauren, I you know, I'm laughing, but it's sadly, it's at the expense of these people who wanted to go on Sunday church and worship, and they were interrupted by these individuals. But now he's inserting the victim card in all of this because he's finding out that he actually might be criminally charged. Your reaction to what we've seen unravel over these last 48 hours of Don Lemon?
Well, I think if the career in journalism doesn't work out, Don Lemon certainly has a future in gymnastics, because that whole backflip and reach in order to reach the conclusion that he is the victim here, really quite impressive. But no, it's not journalism to be part of this mob that is breaking into a church and then actually on camera confirm that, yes, the point of why we are doing this is specifically to make these people uncomfortable. Don Lemon said that. And I think I want to make it very clear that there were journalists who were present on January 6th who were there reporting. Elijah Shaver for The Blaze is one of those individuals. Don Lemon, with this defense of, oh, I was just a journalist reporting, that was nowhere to be seen for the likes of Elijah Shaver. So I think there's definitely a double standard there. And I think the idea that anybody would think to protest ICE by going to a church and disrupting the service, and specifically, admittedly, trying to intimidate the churchgoers there, it really is disgusting. So we now have the update from, of course, the DOJ that they are, I believe, going to be pursuing charges, if they haven't already, against the likes of Don Lemon and perhaps other people who were there under the statute that they initially instituted for the KKK that says you are not allowed to intimidate people who are exercising their constitutionally protected rights, including freedom to religion. And I think that is absolutely what needs to happen. I hope that, you know, this level of proactiveness continues from the Trump team and over at the DOJ, because we can't forget when it came to things like January 6th or even parents going to PTA meetings or pro-life people praying outside of abortion clinics, the Biden administration was absolutely vicious in these different types of prosecutions. And I think that unless conservatives, people on the right wing, unless we show that we will protect our own, then the issue of weaponization of the legal system is just going to get worse. And to be clear, I don't believe in making up charges mm-hmm. or trying to create crimes where they don't exist just to get back our enemies. But that's not what we are talking about here. I genuinely think that this is unacceptable behavior that does violate these people's First Amendment right to worship when they were just trying to go to church.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on with that. And it's so frustrating to see. Again, I would never want anyone to get cooked up charges that are, you know, falsely being pushed. But the reality of it is what happened there that day needs to be stopped. It needs to be blocked from happening again, because this will happen again if they get away with it. And we hope the DOJ is serious about the investigation that they announced they've just recently launched. So we'll keep watching that. Lauren, before you go, though, I want to play clip 20 for you as well, because, you know, we sit back and we watch as ICE is trying to literally get the worst of the worst off the streets. I mean, I get the updates constantly. It's rapists, it's murderers, it's child predators. It's all of the most horrific human beings that they're trying to wrap up and get out of here. But in clip 20, we're going to hear another Democrat, Dan Goldman, go out there and refer to these people as Nazis yet again. Take a listen.
The reality is Donald Trump is president for the next 3 years, and we cannot allow this at ICE agency to continue doing what it is doing. And so we actually have a lot more pressing concerns than to figure out exactly how we're going to reconstitute our immigration enforcement, because what needs to stop is what you're seeing there in Minneapolis. And what needs to stop is agents, literally masked agents, stopping people on the street and demanding their papers. That was what Nazi Germany did. That is so authoritarian and un-American. And it's just the tip of the iceberg, because, of course, we know about all the violence.
Lauren, we got about 2 minutes left, but I want to highlight the fact that they continue to use that rhetoric when describing ICE agents as well as their political opposition. And then we saw, obviously, that horrific assassination against Charlie Kirk take place. And they don't seem to be toning down the rhetoric. They seem to be amping it up. What's your take on all of this?
Well, I just want to say that this type of rhetoric is absolutely why Charlie Kirk was assassinated. It's absolutely why Renee Good thought she was justified in trying to run over an ICE agent, is because these leftists, they genuinely believe, because they have been coached and trained to do so by the media, by all these NGOs, they genuinely believe that they are going up against the likes of the SS. Which is absolutely just so poisonous. And I mean, we've just gone over all of the trouble that I've had with law enforcement that was weaponized by the Biden administration. You don't hear me having this type of rhetoric. You know, you didn't see me trying to fight the officers that were present at our search, because I know that they probably have no idea what's going on. They're following orders, and we have to trust in the legal system and due process. And, you know, it's just, it's not anyone's place to try to subvert the law by actively impeding law enforcement from doing their jobs. And it's just, it's also really interesting that these same people who, you know, 4 or 5 years ago were very happily cheering on vaccine passports and barring people from public life from things like restaurants, all of a sudden they care about freedom and liberty. And oh, how dare you ask for our papers? And I think this also really illustrates everything that's happening in Minnesota right now, that the left is just open borders. I mean, they claim that they're not, but there has not been one single act of immigration law enforcement that they have supported. They don't want a wall, which is a passive tool to stop people from coming over illegally. You know, they don't want people to be investigated through things like E-Verify. They want illegals to be able to work under the table. They don't want people to be kicked off SNAP if they're here illegally. There's not one single act of immigration enforcement that you will find the left by and large supporting, which kind of, I mean, it shows to me where their priorities really are. They just want to let really the worst of the worst in. And again, like you said, these are child predators, murderers, drug traffickers that ICE is by and large going after. And yet still we see these people standing up for them in a way that, I hate to say it, but they would never stand up for their fellow Americans, blue collar working Americans who are being displaced by these illegal immigrants in their jobs. And it's very, very harrowing, frankly, seeing all of this.
Yeah, Lauren, it is. It is. Lauren, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's a pleasure to catch up with you. We look forward to having you back on the show. Of course, Lauren Chen, honor to have you on the show today. Folks, give her a follow on X if you're not doing so already. We'll be right back with more.
I reckon a lot of you know I've been on the air for a long time. And we've done quite a few things here. And I've had a lot of different ways that I tried to continue on our mission. So I want to tell you about a Beggin' right here. This is a limited edition knife. We just came out with it a couple days ago. And well, some people call it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade. But you need something to take care of yourself or your family and protect you, I think this will do it. It's an important remake. Updated World War II trench knife. Double-edged stainless steel, razor sharp. Life is fiery with its beauty. It's got a nice little pin-up girl there right there on it. So I reckon this is just about as good as you're going to get. It's some fried taters and biscuits and mustard. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get one of these before they sell out with the murdered out brass knuckles and skull crusher, then I reckon you better get on over to thealexjonesstore.com while the getting's good. And I appreciate you keeping us on the air in our mission. Mm-hmm. I call it a Kaiser Blade. And it's a limited edition right now. Mm-hmm. But all I know is the globalists shouldn't have done what they did to that boy. What Epstein did. So all I can say is they're going to have the Lord to deal with. But, limited edition, almost sold out. I just know you want this knife. It's selling out quick. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for your support.